Started a half an hour ago. The first bill on the agenda is House File 3420, Senator Moi.
Yeah.
And county registrars. There's no fiscal impact. Why are you here?
Well, Madam Chair, members, we were sent here, and I think it's the appropriate and the responsible thing to do. There were some concerns that because there could potentially be some minor shifting in an impact on local government, that we ought to come to the Finance Committee. If you look at the fiscal impact, it does note that there might be a slight local impact. And the rationale for that is that, and the reason for why we're doing this bill is that there's been some confusion about how to charge fees for the recording of these condominium documents. And so this, what the language is trying to do is to have all the counties charge one fee for everything, and we want to make it explicitly clear. So the current law says that if you are filing documents for condominium, we're going to charge $46, and any additional certificate that you desire will be $20. If you're filing a document with a plat, which is much more volume, it'll be $56, but any additional copies of certificate will only be $20. And by you creating uniformity all across the counties, some counties might have to readjust how they're doing it currently, but we just don't know what the local impact fully is going to be, but this would be very helpful. The county recorders want this, and the real property section of the Bar Association would also like this to happen.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
So we are setting the fees in statute. How often will we have to revisit it if they need to increase?
Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, the fees have always been in statute. We're not increasing the fees. We're not lowering the fees. It's just that the language under current law was not as clear to fulfill what our intentions were. And so some counties would charge, you know, the $46 for the first certificate, and then subsequent certificates, they were also charged the additional $46 when they could charge $20. So it was different from county to county, and the county recorders felt like they just needed to, for us to make these technical corrections to make it clear so that the different counties knew how to apply the law.
Madam Chair?
Senator Roebling.
How often, when is the last time they went up, the fees? And do they expect that they will? I just am wondering if it's been there's been a recent increase or not.
I'm not sure, Mr. Amberg. Do we know?
Yeah. Bill Amberg, representing the Minnesota County Recorders Association. Madam Chair, Senator Roebling. I'm not aware of when there's been a fee change, but I can get back to you with that information. I think it's been at least several years.
And we could look at the statutory language, too. I'm sure it'll show where the fee increases. And I'm sorry I don't have that information for you, Senator Roebling.
Okay. I'm just trying to help you and make it a finance bill.
Yes.
Does someone want to move the bill?
I'll do that.
Senator Higgins moves that House File 3420 be recommended to pass. It goes to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Thank you.
Motion prevails. Next bill is Senator Wieger, Senate File 3001. Senator Roebling, would you move the division report?
Madam Chair, I'll move the division report for Senator Wieger's 3001.
Do we vote on that?
All those in favor of the division report say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Senate File 3001 is the policy bill for the E-12 Education Committee. A couple of weeks ago, the Budget Division took out all provisions having a fiscal impact. So before you is a bill that does not have a fiscal note. That said, there are about...
She has a zero fiscal note.
Okay. And I could end the presentation at this point, or I could give you a two-minute summary or go further in depth.
Is there anyone on the committee that would like to hear a summary of the bill, or would you rather wait for the floor? Since we have a zero fiscal note in front of us. Okay, why don't we just take a motion?
Madam Chair, I do have one technical amendment.
Oh, you have a technical amendment? Okay.
And possibly another. It's the A67.
Okay. Someone like to offer the A67? And Senator Frederickson offers the A67 amendment, but let's pass it out.
And as it's being passed, Madam Chair, it just changes the date from 2008 to 2010. It's technical. It's not controversial. On the reading provisions, Senator Olson, Senator Saltzman have worked on this and relates to some reports.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair. Madam Chair, would this be more appropriate if on the floor, given that we're not, you know, we're Finance Committee and there's no fiscal impact?
I always prefer that we don't mess with policy in this committee. Senator Wieger, you want to hold this for the floor?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Fischbach.
And did you say you had another amendment that was more technical?
Well, that was very technical, and I'll take your advice and wait for the floor.
On the other one?
Yes.
Okay. Then any other questions on fiscal impact?
Senator Dill.
Senator.
Madam Chair, you asked if
Senator Dill.
You asked Senator Wieger whether he wanted to give a 2-minute explanation of his bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to hear a 2-minute explanation.
And you're going to time him?
Well, that was somebody suggested 2 minutes.
Senator Wieger, a 2-minute explanation of your bill upon the request of Senator Dill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair, I had a 2-minute speech I had to make not too long ago, and when I got done, somebody made the comment that if he had only 2 minutes to live, he was hoping that I would be the timekeeper.
Shall we clap?
Senator Wieger.
Yes. Thank you. Madam Chairs, members, the omnibus policy bill contains about 50 provisions. Roughly half of them are from the Department of Education, Commissioner Segrin. Of those 25 or so provisions from the Department of Ed, about half are mechanical, non-controversial, change of dates, reporting requirements, and several of the remaining Department of Ed proposals relate to charter schools. By and large, those proposals have been worked out, except a couple of items, but half the bill is from the Department of Education and their initiatives. The remaining half contains a number of provisions, a great one by Senator Tomasoni addressing the need for physical education. We have one from the chair, Senator Pappas, on family life education. We have provisions from Senator Olson and Senator Saltzman on reading instruction. We have had a number of proposals in there as well that address technology standards. And if there's questions on any of those particular provisions, we can address it. But the bottom line common denominator is that there's no longer a fiscal note on these items.
I made a mistake on the division report. I misspoke. It's supposed to be moving the E-12 Education Division report, and Senator Stump needs to make that motion.
Madam Chair, I'd move that the E-12 Education Budget Division report be adopted.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
So, Madam Chair, those would be some of the highlights on policy initiatives. There's others as well. And Senator Olson has a nice smile on her face about the hockey proposal, but we would have the highlights at this point.
Mm-hmm. So it's a financial issue then? This is costing money. Senator Foley.
Madam Chair, is it true that Senator Tomasini is going to participate in the physical education program?
As a matter of fact, I'm gonna teach it. How does that sound?
Sorry, we went back to discuss the A67 amendment. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have an amendment, and could I explain quickly to see if you think it's appropriate in here? It's kind of got a foot in each world of finance and policy, and I've talked to Senator Wieger, I've talked to Senator Stump, and I had brought it up on the floor to the finance bill or to the article on E-12 education and withdrew it so I'd have some chance, an opportunity to work on it a little more. And we do need maybe a little more time to work on it, but I'd love to get it incorporated into the bill so that that we get more input if we need it. I want to make sure that it does not have a fiscal impact. I'm asking for the change in how we might be allowed to use integration aid, and have found out that the department does have some guidelines that would allow this use, but it's never been included in statute, that it would be permittable to use it for closing or narrowing the achievement gap. And I'm not sure, I don't want to have a separate plan that would cause a fiscal impact to be required, or a fiscal note to be required, if it was considered a separate plan instead of part of the integration aid plan. So I'd love to put it on here and have it so it is engrossed in the bill right now. And if the department comes back and says that doing it this way is going to cause a fiscal impact, we will rewrite it so that it does not. I'm not thinking that it would at this point, but not certain. And so I don't know if you want a further explanation, but it is the A66 amendment, and I wanted to offer it for discussion. It does allow school districts that currently are eligible for integration aid, integration revenue, to use their plans to demonstrably close or narrow the academic achievement gap, and or use it for integration programs that they currently are using or that they might plan for the future. Doesn't say they can't use it for integration programs, but it would allow them some flexibility with the use of the revenues.
Senator Roebling, do you want the amendment passed out?
I would. I believe so.
She's working.
Strictly, demonstrably.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Roebling,
I thought I'd offer it here partly because it has to do with revenue, although I'm not trying to increase expenditures. I'm just trying to give flexibility, and I thought maybe it would be appropriate to offer it here for this committee to consider and to have it available in a bill so that if there's public comment, at least that they would have the opportunity instead of just bringing it to the floor. But I have been working with various groups on this already, and I know that there is a number of Senators Torres-Rae is very supportive of this. Senator Rummel actually made calls to some of their integration aid specialists in districts and received encouragement on it. And so I've talked to the department. They're looking into making sure that we're not going to have any fiscal impact, and it is not my intent to increase the cost of these plans. But they haven't quite figured it out yet. They want to make sure before we do that, and I want to make sure too. If we have to rewrite it so it wouldn't, I would certainly be open to doing that. I don't want to put a fiscal note on Senator Weaker's bill.
Senator Weaker, any comments on the A66?
Well, Madam Chair, has the department said there's no fiscal note?
They're seeing if this is written, Madam Chair, so that
Senator Roebling.
So that there would not be if it is. It is not our intent to do that. So if there is a fiscal note right now, we will rewrite it so there would not be a fiscal note.
Mr. Chair or Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Who's got their hands up? Senator Stump, sorry.
It's hard to see sideways. Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, I know Mr. Melcher is here from the department. Maybe we can hear from him and see if there's any fiscal cost.
Mr. Melcher.
Madam Chair and members, Tom Melcher with the Department of Education. Just wanted to see if this was the same language that we looked at the other day, and it is the same language. We did review this. Our Assistant Commissioner Morgan Brown and I looked at this, and we did determine that school districts are currently using about 92% of the maximum revenue that's available. The school districts get the lesser of a dollar amount per student or what they actually spend on desegregation programs, except Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth, where it's a fixed dollar per student. So we believe that if the effect of this is to give school districts more flexibility in how they use the money, that some of those school districts that are spending less than the maximum would, in fact, spend more, and that could have a fiscal impact. If the department has issued some guidance that allows districts to do some of these sorts of things, and we think it might be necessary to do some tweaking of the language in order to avoid the possibility that there would be a fiscal impact.
And Senator and Mr. Melcher, did you have any recommendation yet for that tweaking?
Madam Chair, I know that Morgan Brown had been working on something, but I do not have that with me here. Okay. I know that he'd been in contact with your office. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to.
Right. Just
Senator Roebling.
Madam Chair, just this afternoon, and we didn't have time to finalize the details of it. So we're working on it. Mm-hmm.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, and maybe Mr. Melcher is the person to answer this, but what kinds of things are integration aid used for if it's not to narrow the achievement gap?
Mr. Melcher.
Ask Commissioner Madam Siegel. Chair and Senator Higgins, the focus of the current integration rule is looking at activities that are increasing interracial contact. And there are some things that might reduce the achievement gap without necessarily also being primarily an integration kind of activity. So if the integration statute was written so that anything that reduced the achievement gap would be eligible use of integration revenue, then the integration revenue statute would be very similar to the compensatory revenue statute, which is also intended to reduce achievement gaps. And so we think there may be some things that aren't integration per se that might benefit students in terms of reducing the achievement gap, and that's where it's a little bit
like the state grant.
Unclear in terms of exactly what school districts would do with this money. And since there are school districts that are spending significantly less than the maximum that they're allowed per pupil, if this does in fact increase the flexibility that school districts have to provide remedial programs generally to low-achieving students as opposed to activities that are specifically targeted toward integration, then this would allow school districts to spend up to their per-pupil dollar limit that they have under the integration formula, which they're not all doing currently.
Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
I heard what you said, but I guess I still don't understand what specific activities are included under this increased interracial interaction umbrella. I mean, are you talking about different classes? Are you talking about after school activities? Are you talking about transportation? What, I mean, give me some real specifics, please.
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, it could be all of those sorts of things. That, for example, there are programs that the St. Paul School District does with the Stillwater School District that are involved with activities on weekends or on outside of regular school time. There are inter-district programs that are operated, magnet school programs that are operated by the East Metro, the West Metro consortia. But the language in the bill that would allow integration revenue to be used to reduce achievement gaps, depending on how you read it, and perhaps there's just some tweaking that needs to be done to clarify this, but could be used, in my judgment, for a program at an individual elementary school that's just simply designed to reduce gaps in achievement between high and low achieving kids. May have nothing to do with integration programs. And so it seems to me that it would have the effect of expanding this. And some school districts are not applying for the maximum that they could they could use under the integration revenue. In some cases, they might be getting $92 per pupil. They may only be applying for $50 per pupil because the sorts of activities that are currently allowed under the rules are things that they can't, at the present time, budget for. And if the purpose of this is to say we want to allow school districts to do some new things that reduce achievement gaps that currently aren't allowed under the rules, and I'm not the program expert, I'm sorry, I'm a fiscal guy, but my understanding is that there are some of those sorts of things and that this could result in a situation where a school district that's only spending $50 per pupil out of the maximum of $92 might go up to the $92 per pupil. We don't think that that's the intent. We're trying to just say that, that in our judgment, we think if it was a little bit more time spent with this and the language was tweaked a little bit, then we would assure that there wasn't a fiscal impact.
Then, Madam Chair, just one more question.
I don't want to be in there.
Is the amount that we will spend on integration aid capped at a certain amount? Maybe that's a Senator Stumpf question. I'm trying to figure out if we allocate $92 a student and they're only taking advantage of 50, but we've made arrangements for the whole 92, then it seems to me that it wouldn't break the bank because we've already put that money aside for the program.
Mr. Melcher.
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, we look at the past practice in terms of school districts and to what extent they use the maximum revenue. And so currently we're not budgeting for the maximum. We're budgeting based on past practice plus some idea as to some additional school districts coming into the program because more districts qualifying down the road.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Wieger.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I would respectfully request the amendment be withdrawn. And you've asked me to take out anything with a fiscal impact, and that is what has been done. I've resisted the temptation of offering some amendments that I feel strongly about because there could be a fiscal impact. And that was, I thought, the ground rule. And even if you were to consider it, I would say we need to have a committee hearing to go through the impact in detail. Moreover, I think if you did support the amendment, it should go in Senator Stumpf's budget part, and which is a part now of the larger bill. So I would respectfully give that guidance with at this point where we're at in session.
Senator Roebling, because of the uncertainty about the fiscal note, if your amendment did prevail, we'd probably have to lay the bill over until we got certainty on that. So it might be better to resolve that first and then be able to offer an amendment on the floor that we know doesn't have any fiscal impact.
Madam Chair, I will withdraw it. But at least we had a little public airing here so that if people want to come to me with concerns on the amendment, that they have that opportunity because I would still like to pursue it on the floor, and I'll try and make sure that it isn't going to have a fiscal impact on Senator Wieger's bill because I know that it's a policy bill and it's not supposed to do that.
All right. Thank you. Senator Roebling withdraws the A66 amendment. Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, you had just mentioned in passing about the A67, that technical amendment. It is just a correction. It was the change of a date was missed in one spot, and it's asking to report something on a date that's already passed. Right. And so I would like to I think it's a courtesy to allow
Senator
that
Fishbach, I looked at that, too. It's on the fiscal note on page 6. The department does talk about that date was a mistake and it should be clarified. So I don't think it's a big policy change.
Madam Chair, I'm not objecting.
As Senator Wieger said, it's more technical.
I was just pointing it out.
Okay. So, Senator Olson, do you want to move the A67? Sure. Do members remember we're just deleting 2008 and inserting 2010. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, Senator Wieger, then would someone like to move his bill?
I'd move it.
Senator Stumpf moves that Senate file 3001, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. Senator Wieger? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. And the next bill on the agenda is Senate File 3170, Senator Torres Ray. Senator Torres Ray, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee.
And we need to move the division report. Would someone from Senator Berglund isn't here? Would someone else like to move the division report? No. Senator Foley moves that the division report for Senate File 3170 be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. Before proceeding with the bill, I would like to ask the committee to please consider the A7 amendment. And this particular amendment, Madam Chair, members of the committee, will modify the provision on the bill related to the child's sleeping position while at a child care center. This section, the only thing it does is that it will conform with the changes that were made in the House. So actually, it's just one word. I believe that it is different from the House version.
Do you have a copy of the A7? Why don't we make sure she gets a copy? Because it's more than one word.
Okay, sorry.
While that's being passed out, I just wanted to announce that Senator Tomasoni's bill, 3471, is being pulled from the agenda because we don't have the fiscal note yet.
Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Senator. And I have... These are very technical fixes, and again, is to put this in the in conformity with the House version. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, this particular bill that we have in front of you really does not have a fiscal note. It was referred to Senator Berglund's committee. Because it was the understanding that we will have a fiscal note. We had a hearing in Senator Berglund's committee, but we did not have a fiscal note for it. So the what you have in front of you really does not have at this point a fiscal note. But I have with me Ms. Ann Sessoms, who is the Director of Transitions to Economic Stability from the Department of Human Services, and she will give you a brief overview of the amendment as well as the language that is in front of you.
I'm trying to match this up with the first. Is it with the first engrossment? The committee engrossment. A committee. Do we have a committee engrossment?
I think it lines up with the committee report.
Yes. Yeah. Lines up with the committee report. It doesn't, but it needs to be engrossed.
Five. Shoot.
Line 327. We don't have a committee engrossment. So we might have to. Figure out how to redo the amendment or get a committee engrossment. What should we do? Okay. We need to, and Senator Berglund isn't here yet. Why don't we recess, then we can get the committee engrossment.
Okay.
And how long do you
think?
how long till Senator Berglund process? Is that enough time for the committee engrossment? 15 minutes, like four, back
page five.
Okay, we have, yes, Senator Frederickson.
The A7 amendment, does that affect finances?
Senator Torres Ray, I think there's no fiscal note.
No, there is no fiscal note, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, why don't we have Senator Torres Ray offer the A7 amendment on the floor?
Oh, and then we don't have to wait for the engrossment.
Yes. Be more appropriate on the floor anyway if it doesn't affect the finances of the bill.
Okay.
That would be
that's a really good suggestion. So we have, then we can finish up with the bill. So we have a zero fiscal note. Why were you brought before us then?
Madam Chair, sure? Members of the committee, because we went to Senator Berglund's committee, we were told that we needed to come here. This bill was referred to your committee. So that's the reason we're here.
Yep. What?
But there is no discussion.
Mr. Moss, could you tell us maybe why?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, the bill does change a number of provisions. For example, if you look at the division report, just to pick an example, it changes the fee schedule for the sliding basic sliding fee program, but it does so in a way that does not have a fiscal impact. This is a conforming change. So it changes, makes adjustments to programs and statutes that certainly do have a fiscal impact. They're parts of the appropriation base for this budget area, but this particular change is technical. And in this case, for example, just recodifying so that instead of, I believe it's federal poverty guidelines, these numbers are computed and reflected in terms of regional or state income, state median income guidelines.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Once it gets to a division, doesn't it have to come back through full finance to get out?
Right. Senator Frederickson.
I move that Senate File 3170, as amended by the division report, be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay. We need a 15-minute recess before we can take up Senator Berglund's bill. So we should be back here at, I have 20 to 4. Is that correct? At 5 to 4. So the committee is in recess. Hold on. The committee does not need to be in recess. We take that back. Senator Berglund is just here. Senator Berglund, perfect timing. Do you need to catch your breath? Senate File 3366. Senator Berglund moves the division report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, this bill deals with our nursing home payments. Last session, we provided a 2% COLA to our nursing homes to be administered in the form of rebasing. Under the rebasing arrangement, there will be some nursing homes that don't get any increase. So the purpose of this bill is to take that same amount of money and take 1% of the 2% and make sure that every nursing home gets at least up to a 1% cost of living adjustment. The other 1% would then go toward rebasing of facilities rates. And so this is budget neutral, and it is budget neutral in the tails. I do have an A3 amendment.
Okay, let's pass out the A3 amendment.
Madam Chair, this is pretty much of a technical amendment. It's just instructing the reviser to change a certain term that is used in our payment system to a different term to reflect.
Any questions on the A3 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any other questions on...
So this will mean that we'll phase in rebasing a little bit more slowly, but it also will mean that there will be no nursing facility that doesn't get some rate increase.
Any questions on the bill?
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Senator Berglund, what in dollar amounts, what would 1% be to a regular nursing home? What, you know, how much would they normally get, and so what would their dollar amount come close to? So I know it's based on patient counts and everything like that, but just an example.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, it's a lot more complicated than that even. They get paid based on their case mix. So if they have higher acuity patients, they get paid more than if they have lower acuity patients. They get paid based on the number of patients they have. And then they get paid based on a historical rate. And the historical rates are somewhat based on... there are differences in rates in different areas of the state. but there are also differences between areas of the state. So it'd be pretty hard to just pick an average to tell you.
Senator Parasol.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, my question has to do with, on the fiscal note, it says rebased MA nursing facility payments. How many of the total nursing facilities in Minnesota does MA facility apply to?
Madam Chair and Senator Parasol, I don't know the exact number, but it's almost all the facilities. I think there maybe are two that are not certified to receive medical assistance in the state.
Okay. So this is...
Senator Parasol.
If I understand correctly by the answer, this applies to just about all the nursing homes?
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Parasol, yes.
Okay, any other questions? Then Senator Berglund.
I would move then that Senate File 3366 be recommended to pass as amended.
As amended by the division report. All those in favor
and
say
aye. The committee.
Whoops, and the amendment. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.